Rain, 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 well, more rain. That has been the story over the last couple of weeks along the East Coast. Those who have been affected know too well the pain. We have a conversation with a couple of industry people today, building, retail, also manufacturing, about the impacts that this rain and flooding has had. Luke and I also talk about how we might look at game going forward from this. Stick around. Ready, set, splash. Making chlorinators is what we do at AIS. This laser focus has brought us recognition as a global leader, winning countless international and national awards. Our technology is operating in over 55 countries worldwide. Our claims are backed by university research and data. Our customer testimonials prove the value of our technology's benefits, ease of operation, reliability, and service. Find out how your customers can benefit from our 30 years of innovation and excellence at aiswater.com.au today. Today's show is called Rain, Pain and Gain. Well, we've had plenty of rain and pain in certain parts around the country. Before we get into that, I want to welcome back to the podcast. Look, he's still okay. Some of you have been asking, where is he? Is he okay? You know, has there been a conflict between, you know, the big dog and Dave here? No, not at all. It's just been a very, very busy time. Lots happening for all of us. And I am so pleased, Luke Daly, to welcome you back into Splash Podcast Studio.
It's good to be in the studio again. And you touched on rain and pain at the start there. Am I the gain part of this podcast?
Look, possibly. It looks like you've had some gains. You've been working out, son.
No, mate, no. Just trying my best to live large.
Look, that moustache has gained as well. That cry for help is beginning after all of this time to turn into something looking more significant. Luke,
why finally has some credibility, you reckon?
I didn't say that. Look, don't put words in my mouth. There's been heaps going on. Luke, how are you? What's been going on?
Well, everything's been going on, I guess. I mean, how far back do you want me to roll? I don't think you've invited me on for the last, I don't know, at least this year I haven't been featured. So.
Well, let's go from this year, from January. We're into March now. Welcome back. We've missed you.
Thank you. I've missed you too. I've been tuning in, obviously, to listening all the interviews that are coming through. I think I was on the first episode of this year. We did the US podcast, Dave, if I recall.
We did. That was a lot of fun with the boys from the US, the Pool Chasers.
That's right. And just before that, Pool Nation as well. So good to be featured over there. If you haven't tuned into that one, have a listen. But since then,
they loved us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And why wouldn't they?
Yeah, exactly
how
right.
How good are we as a... And when I say us, I don't mean Luke and I, by the way.
I do.
Well, sure. They loved our Australian industry, what we do. They were actually reasonably quite informed, both of those podcasts having us on, the sort of work that we do here in Australia, the innovation that we bring to the rest of the world. It was pretty cool to be a part of, really.
It was. And, you know, apart from that, what else has been going on, if you ask? It's trying to pedal as fast as we can on this little... wheel. What are those little mice run on? They're just little wheels. You just keep going around and around and around and around, around until they have a rest. So that's what it's felt a bit like. I mean, stuff happening all around Australia and New Zealand. I mean, if we dare say that word, Omicron, you know, it flared up and
everybody
then
drink.
Seems to have relaxed a little bit. So all up in that hubbub, there was a Victorian Pool and Spa Expo.
Oh, that. Well, we've spoken about this on the show. We did actually a bunch of interviews out of that show. That was epic to say the least.
It was huge and exhausting. I mean, some other shows have moved around based on some venue requirements. So stay alert of those kind of things at poolspalife.com.au. Yeah. But the major thing that I want to kind of mention, and we'll get into the rain and the pain side of things.
All right.
But now is the opportunity to gain some awards. We are right in the throes of award nominations at the moment.
Spazaawards.com.au. Get on there, industry. Be seen, be heard, be celebrated. Make sure that you are putting your best photos and feet forward to be recognized for the awesome work that you do. I've been staggered as we've been around some of the shoots recently for the upcoming TV show. Again, we've spoken about that here on this podcast. Just to be on site and listen in depth to the builders talking about the workmanship, the craftsmanship, the artisan style effort that has gone into creating some of these backyard masterpieces has been incredible. You, dear listener, do incredible work. Make sure you get up your awards, spazaawards.com.au. Get nominated and be recognized because you're worth it.
So we're very much in the swing of that, aren't we? So, I mean, beautiful plug. We are worth it. But let's address, and I think what the tone of this conversation is about, yep. Dave, is about the rain. I mean, we're right in the thick of it. You're on the Sunshine Coast. I'm down in little old Brisbane, and, you know, you wouldn't read about it, but it falls south and keeps going and has gone south. Well, I've been in Sydney this week.
It planted itself really for 10 days over the southeast of Queensland before it decided to move. It was the strangest thing. Every day going to the Bureau of Meteorology radar, the bomb radar site, and going, hang on, these are where the patterns usually move a bit more. But this 300-kilometer over southeast Queensland pattern just sat there and left so much water in its wake. It's been incredible. Let me run through some numbers because you've all seen on the news what's happened. So many of you will have been affected by this. There are some interviews coming up that you're going to hear from. One from Maddie Galvin from Environ Pools in Brisbane and some of the building project issues and even around insurance. And from Sophie at Allclaw, whose business was completely inundated under 1.5 meters of water. We're going to hear from her too. Just let me give you some numbers. Are you ready for some of the numbers of rainfall that we've had in the last 7 days?
I am, and I suppose if we can have a frame of reference to contextualize it too, Dave, if we've got some comparisons that we can draw from, we might have to do it on the fly, but hit me with some numbers, mate. Hit me with the stats.
All right, the number one rainfall that I can find on the Bureau of Statistics is a little place called, I think it's called Uki, I don't know, UKI. It's on the Tweed River, so northern rivers of New South Wales, in the last week has had nearly 1,200 millimetres, 1.2 metres in less than 7 days.
That's a shallow end of a pool.
It is a lot of water. Look, going down from there, Clontarf and Redcliffe area on a metre.
Northside, Bayside of Brisbane.
Yeah, Brisbane area itself over the Brisbane River, Brisbane City over 800 millimetres. And Beerburren coming up to 800 millimetres as well up here on the Sunshine Coast. And, I mean, look, how did the rain actually affect you guys personally and your family in Brisbane?
Yeah, look, we were pretty fine. I've got a big four-wheel drive and we live, halfway up a hill. So in terms of impact to our livelihood or our ability, we were fine. We got a little bit of a leak in the roof and actually lost our chlorinator, not from flood water, just from too much water going near it and it burnt the PCB out. So that's insurance claims, but really nothing compared to, I mean, even you, and then you're really nothing in comparison, no offense, to kind of some of these houses that have been completely riddled and lives lost and that kind of thing. But you had a bit of an adventure, I believe.
We did. Look, my wife and I went down on the Friday. We went, we know it's wet. We know it's raining. We booked it in months before. We'll go away for a night in Brisbane. We're from the Sunshine Coast. For those that don't know, it's about 100 kilometres north of Brisbane City, you know, typically about an hour and 15 drive. Between the two, no problem. We drove down in the wet on Friday night. Saturday morning, we got up, looked at the bomb and thought, yeah, this isn't good. Turned around to come back and we were cut off. The roads were flooded. We kept missing checkpoints either by the fact that the roads were flooded and, you know, they advertise it up here pretty heavily is if it's flooded, forget it. We were cut off and we were cut off for 3 days. My three kids at home thought that was wonderful. The fridge was full. The Xbox was on for 24/7, I think, by the time we got home. I don't know that there'd been any showers amongst my teenage boys for 3 days. But there's certainly been lots of frozen food thrown in the oven and eaten and Xbox games played. But we made it back after some hairy moments around the place. But the inundation that we've seen has been incredible.
That's it. I mean, if we bring it closer to home as well, yours was pretty harrowing. I remember talking to you during it. But we look around and we go from the construction level. We saw, you know, cranes getting mobile water-based cranes getting washed down the Brisbane River and smacking into
incredible
things.
Incredible footage, isn't it?
Crazy
the
footage.
The power of water.
You know, the AFL player swimming laps on the AFL oval.
I love
was
that
very
to start
funny.
With a few laps,
just going.
Warm up.
That was hilarious, but you know that was safe relatively. But no, just looking at the pools and going, people, consumers with open holes ready that would have been dug earlier in that week. And I mean, it's very difficult to kind of forecast that amount of rain. I mean, if we look at it, weather's pretty difficult to forecast. And even if you do forecast that kind of volume, it was an unreal amount of volume. So you can't really, I don't think, blame anyone for having dug on a Monday when it looked sunny as anything, like a good Queensland summer does. And then boom, it just whacks. So, yeah. You know, there would have been cave-ins. And I think we get stuck into that a little bit later with Matt. Pools that are turning brown at my house.
Well, let's talk about that. There would be hundreds of thousands of pools around the east coast of Australia that have been affected. Our industry is going to be very busy on cleanups. What does that look like, Luke, with the pools? Tell us what happened at your place and where that's going to be replicated. What are our professionals around the industry going to be busy doing for the next days, weeks, months fixing this stuff?
A heck of a lot.
What does that look like?
The ramifications are from anywhere. I mean, take mine. I lost the chlorinator, which means I got no chlorine or sanitation going into my pool now. So it will inevitably turn over the next couple of days unless I hand dose it.
Yeah.
So that's number one. The pool next door to me at my house has had my backyard washed into it because they're on the lower side of our block. So our garden is half in their pool now. So that sucks.
That's nice sharing.
That's right. That's right. Now, I suppose, and we'll put it in the show notes, David, but there is an article on Splash Magazine that deals with what to do in these situations from a techie perspective. Most of us will largely know, you know, the process to go. But if you are new or starting out or would like to know more, there is an article on the website.
Yeah, so maybe you can improve your process as well with that article.
That's it. So, I mean, you've got that. You've got equipment from being flooded. You've got all kinds of stuff, but probably one of the trickier things, and I've seen a lot of our Spaza members, in fact, sending out these emails addressing a pool salt shortage. So naturally, with you've got a lot of fresh water in a pool, the existing chemicals are getting watered down, forgive the pun. I mean, salt, there's a massive shortage. I think one of the new Queensland regional manager, Dennis, was chatting with one of the shops the other day about a myriad of things. And he said, look, unless you've got 13 pallets of salt, you really can't help me at this point. So that's not a reflection on anything except for we need stock. Yeah,
supply. It is what it is. You know, we've gone through all the challenges of COVID. Everybody drink, supply shortages there, and to be hit with you know, this rain as well, which has blocked roads, had all sorts of impacts as well. So there's going to be some on-flow effects for consumers, pool owners, and our professional industry as well. What about insurance work, Luke?
Yeah, lots of policies will cover kind of motor burnout or not necessarily flooding, because I believe that is fairly difficult to get at the moment. But taking my case with losing the chlorinator, that would just be from the excess rainfall, not flooding, that put water in behind it. So I have an insurance claim out there for that as well at the moment. In some of these cases, pools can pose a public health risk. If they're let to go brown. So insurance companies are usually fairly quick to act. And I'm sure our beloved Spaza members out there and the rest of the trade will be getting on with it and helping out there.
If you've got some pretty incredible photos as you are traveling around and doing your job, you incredible industry, whether it's you as a pool builder and heading into backyards or you're a service tech or a retailer out on site, make sure you send those photos through. Make sure they're high res. Put them through to david@splashmagazine.com.au. david@splashmagazine.com.au. Let us know a little bit about that, and we'll see whether we can publish those as well. Some of the more interesting ones would be amazing, because you will be seeing some things out there in a 1-in-500-year flood event that are probably worth taking a record of. And being able to look back and celebrate what we overcame as a professional industry. Make sure you stick around. We do have a couple of conversations coming up on this podcast with how people are being affected by just the sheer amount of water. Heywood's 1.85 horsepower TriStar VS pump is built to last even under the most demanding conditions. Super quiet in operation with easy to customize speeds, countdown timers and priming time. It even shows real-time power consumption in watts for immediate feedback to maximize those energy savings. It's designed for simple installation. TriStar variable speed pumps can also operate in standalone mode or connect to the Heywood OmniLogic automation system for seamless control. Visit heywoodpool.com.au for details. That's heywood-pool.com.au today. I am speaking on the phone this evening after what has been a very difficult couple of days for many, many people around southeast Queensland and moving down into the northern rivers of New South Wales. And what that is, you will have seen it on the news, is floods. Rain, rain, rain. It's affected many, many people. And I am joined in a conversation on the phone right now by Sophie from Allclaw in Brisbane. Sophie, you've been hugely affected by this. You've sent me some photos through, and I am staggered. Tell us a little bit about what's happened down there.
there's water.
There's water where there shouldn't be. I mean, there's photos of you kayaking through your shop and through your factory. Tell us a little bit about what you do down there, and I suppose what's happened. It's horrendous.
It is, and to be honest, it's still daunting, and it was a lovely sunny day to go kayaking. I would have preferred it not to have been at my place of work, or to have been able to do it in the factory. But it's, as they're saying, it's one of those weather events, one in 500 years. Nobody predicted it. As I said, I turned up on Saturday morning and thought that's a lot of rain, tried to clear what I could, and it was coming through too quickly, and I got out of there to be safe. And a day and a half later, it's, 1.5 metres in the shop. And it's just dirty, horrible stuff.
There's a... The news, I suppose, there as well is everybody got out. I hear you also rescued a canary from a terrible fate.
I did. We had four, and I looked at them on Saturday and went, okay, they'll be fine. If we're getting water, it's ankle deep at the most. They'll be fine. So when we kayaked through, I just looked at the level. And leaning back on the kayak as we were going under the doors was how we got through. That's where the water was on some of the entrance points.
Very high.
Little cardigan, a black and yellow canary, was she probably had an inch left to go of where the water hadn't got to her, and she was very waterlogged. So grabbed a container and put her in there, and away we went.
There's obviously significant challenges that you've got ahead. The water came up very quickly and far higher than was ever expected. What does it look like from here for you? The water's starting to recede. And just for those who are wondering geographically where you're located to, just on the south side of Brisbane.
Yes, it is Rocklea, and yes, it's a floodplain area. But even with saying that, it just, as I said, this was not expected, and looking forward, first thing first is there literally is nothing I can do until the water naturally removes itself.
It's starting to do that, I suspect.
Slowly. 2011 floods, it actually receded a lot quicker, but this time, because it's tidal and everything's full, once we hit high tide again, it sort of floods and pushes the water back in. So unfortunately with this, it is going to be slow, and that also brings its own problems of the water sitting stagnant while it's in the shop. We've got really hot days and weather, mosquitoes, little critters swimming around, not to mention, you've got chemicals in water, salt dissolving, a lot of things to consider before we just go gung-ho and start cleaning up.
Now, it's a very, very difficult time that you're going through. The photos really do tell a story. As well, that you've sent through. You do not expect photos to be sent that show you kayaking through your through your manufacturing and storage and retail area.
No, obstacles like your desk is floating in front of you, and you can't get around it, and all the expensive stuff is at the bottom. Your pumps, your chlorinators.
It is incredibly distressing to see the photos, and I can't imagine actually being there and going through that, Sophie. And I'm sure all who are listening to this, those who think, their thoughts will be with you. Those who pray will be praying as well. And we are definitely thinking of you at this time, Sophie, and all the team there at AllClaw who do such a great job and are so dramatically and seriously affected by this.
Yeah, exactly. And look, because of this, like I said earlier, this is our place of work. Yes, it's our livelihood, all of that. But it's, there are people out there that this is what's happened to their homes. And so yes, this is terrible for me, and but you rebuild and you move on. Your homes, you know, the place where you put your head at night.
Yeah.
I feel for those people because that's just worse.
And there's that great Australian spirit, Sophie, that that comes out under times of squeeze and pressure and things like this, which is, well, it's not as bad as some people are going through, but our thoughts are definitely with you. We wish you and the store and the business a very quick recovery and to see you back up and running as soon as possible.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Luidra is proud to bring you Magnapool, the world's best and only true mineral pool system. Providing the very best in water comfort and clarity, Magnapool is also beneficial to the environment thanks to its unique no-salt formula. Partnered with the all-new Hydroxinator IQ, showcasing innovative features giving you control over scheduling, pump speed, boost and low mode, heaters, lights, pH and chlorine. All this via Wi-Fi connectivity from your smartphone. Smart sensors and ultra-long life cell ensures Magnapool owners save time, save energy and save money. Find out more by going to magnapool.com today.
I am joined on the call today by Matt from Environ Pools. Matt, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. How are you?
Yeah, look, thank you so much for making some time. The reason for our chat today is really around the rain, go away, come again another day, issues that we've had around southeast Queensland, moving down into New South Wales and Sydney and further south at the moment. Tell us a little bit about your business, Matt, what you do and what you've seen and heard around the place, the impacts all this big wet has had.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's been a significant amount of rain. Obviously, we haven't seen this type of rain, you know, in consistent deluge of water, you know, for probably the best on a decade. I've never seen anything like it, you know, since I've been living in Queensland for the best part of 30 years. So it was quite
for our listeners, Matt, I might just let them know up here in Queensland, the biggest dam that feeds sort of the southeast and the Brisbane is called Wivenhoe. It went from 59% full to, I think it was about 150% within 24 hours.
That's right. I mean, even its sister dam, Somerset, you know, it saw, you know, record levels in I think less than that in somewhat of six hours. I think it went up nearly 30%.
Incredible.
If I'm correctly, you know, listening to the news. However, so yeah, significant amount of rain, and really, there's little preparation. I think you can do that. I mean, coming into the week, we knew, you know, as most builders, I mean, if you want to get back to the start asking what I do, I'm a pool builder by trade.
Yeah, and a good one. You've won plenty of awards. People might be familiar with the brand.
So as a pool builder, you know, we're always conscious of the weather, particularly I think in southeast Queensland, you know, and during the summer months, you know, we have a storm wet season, which can be quite unreliable. You know, it can come over pretty quickly and drench us without much warning. So, you know, most builders, I think, quite in tune to that, you know, in southeast Queensland. So we do, you know, we keep a general forecast, you know, at least a week out. And the Bureau is pretty accurate most of the time, you know, within reason. So we did forecast. We did see that weather coming in at the end of the week, but certainly nothing like the volume that actually proceeded, you know, that was record and off the charts. So it did catch us off guard, as I'm sure it did a lot of other people, a lot of other businesses, you know, homeowners. And thankfully, you know, we weathered it reasonably well.
Tell us a bit about, I mean, you've been able to weather it, but what are some of the circumstances that you're seeing either from you or your industry peers out there at the moment on actual build sites? What does it mean for our construction industry around the southeast of New South Wales and even for consumers now?
You know, I can only speak from an experience of a swimming pool builder. I'm sure there are other complications, you know, and issues around, you know, commercial job sites and house builders. I mean, they've got their own separate issues, but, you know, essentially, if you look at what we do as pool builders, we're digging holes in grounds, you know, we're creating, you know, areas where volume of water is meant to be entrapped and contained. You know, the real concern, I mean, I've at any given time, we've probably got anywhere between 40 to 60 pools under construction. And I'm a concrete pool builder. So, you know, and that's throughout the whole process from starting through to, you know, just getting almost getting ready to complete. The jobs that are at concrete stage are actually quite secure. You know, it's once we've got to that particular milestone, you know, at that point you've got a swimming pool structure in place. Really, you've just got the aesthetics and probably some of the hydraulics to finish off. But you know, if it's capturing water, which a lot of them did, obviously, and they're quite full. Most of our pools now, it's not. There's no structural issue there. And you know, I think we did have some, you know, a lot of concerned clients contacting us, you know, worried about the volume of water that was in the pool and that was also in the surround area of the pool. A lot of these properties obviously have, you know, potentially if you, you know, the pool can also be somewhat of a damming or retaining structure as well. So, you know, it could be if other drainage issues could potentially have arisen from having the pool located in that position and the appropriate drainage not being in place as yet because the pool's not under completion. So, but primarily most of the concerns from our clients were, you know, is this going to impact the pool? Is this going to cause any additional flooding? And, you know, thankfully, you know, we've seen similar situation, not at this severe, but situations we've had severe downpours and pools have filled up. So we've got, you know, some pretty good messaging around that. And, you know, we got that alert out quite quickly over the weekend to try and calm the nerves. And thankfully there really hasn't been any issue there. Where the real concern is at the front end. And that's where you've got pools that have been excavated. And in our case, where you've potentially got the steel reinforced structure in place, that can be, you know, majorly impacted by these type of events, because essentially you've got, you know, you've just got a dirt hole. You know, for example, I've had, you know, I was quite fortunate in that we only had three holes open at different stages. Two of them had the steel cages in them, and one was just pre-excavated. So the excavator shop, you know, we did our best to secure those sites. You know, we put in submerged pumps, we tarped up all the areas, we diverted what water we thought could get away from those structures. And thankfully, you know, these pools weren't actually impacting close structures, whether it be, you know, a shed, a house, or other, you know, structures of that nature, which could be impacted by this hole. So we were quite fortunate in that regard, you know. So the hole that didn't have any steel in it, it's quite easy. You just go back there and you can dig it out and there's not too much impact. The problem with the other holes is that you've got the steel reinforced structure in there, and then you've got the possibility and likelihood, particularly if the water fills up, that it's going to collapse and you're going to get significant damage or bending or total collapsing of that steel structure in, you know, folding into the pool. And unfortunately, one of our pools had that happen and the other one didn't. And that came down to, I guess, luck in terms of the volume of water that they received in those particular areas, but also the ground conditions had made, you know, huge impacts. One was an elevated ground in a rocky area. So, you know, and the water was allowed to get away and it wasn't impacted at all. We had very minimal damage. But the other one was in a low-lying area down the Logan Rivers way, which you've seen the news, you know, like that whole area is affected. And look, you know, they just got devastated and the whole pool got collapsed and, you know, and that'll be a restart. You know, that'll
restart so the steel gets removed and everything gets reset again back
to zero. First we've got to wait for the water to go down, so we'll go back there in a set, once the water leaves. But you know, our real concern at the moment, well, it's not a concern now because we've managed to keep in close contact with the client, but was that the hole wasn't creeping, so it wasn't continually moving, so to speak, as it was collapsing in towards any adjoining structure. And thankfully the pool that this was positioned far enough off the house that wasn't a concern. So, you know, it's going to be an arduous task to go back and do this. Nobody wants to, you know, it's unnecessary work and obviously time and expense. But in really, when you're looking at it, it's not that bad. It could be a lot worse.
It could have been worse. You're still going to have some delays, some issues that need fixing. There's another thing I'd like to touch with you on this, and that's around the insurance work for both you as the builder and the homeowners here that you are building for. How does that currently work right now?
Well, to put it in a word, it doesn't work, unfortunately. In eras gone by, and Spaza used to, was one of the providers of some insurance policies that allowed construction insurance policies to be taken out, which did cover through the process. But unfortunately, in this current environment, there are very few insurers with any appetite to offer those services to the swimming pool industry. And so essentially, you know, the only insurances that are available are really the home warranty insurance, which is mandated in Queensland, but that doesn't cover any damage done through the building process. It's an insurance policy that's put in place after completion for the warranty and upholding of statutory warranties, right? So, and I think that's where homeowners get a little confused. They pay this QBCC home warranty insurance up front and they believe that that is part of the process, but it's not. I think some people will be finding that out to their detriment at the moment. So there is other insurances. Like we do, obviously, as a builder, we have to have compulsory third party. But once again, that's really only done, you know, for damage done to other structures, throughout the process that have been inadvertently done through mismanagement of the site. I mean, this type of situation where you've got a perfectly legitimate hole that we've opened up, that we've sealed, that has now collapsed through to what can only be called latent conditions, doesn't have any current policy that I'm aware of that will cover either the builder or the homeowner. And it is a risk.
So what happens there, Matt, in a situation like that going forward now? The cost that you end up having to bear?
Well, that's really up to the individual builder and the circumstances around the collapse and what's happened. I think, look, you know, and it's case by case. I don't think there's really any set protocol to put in place. I mean, for example, you know, if you've opened up a hole knowing full well that there was a huge storm coming the next day and that you weren't going to be able to secure that hole, there's potential that it was going to collapse because of you've got the soil conditions, you know the area, there's probably a water table. So all those, you know, things that need to be considered when you before you go to excavate. If you've then, you know, considered it a viable risk and gone for it, well then I think, you know, there's an onus of responsibility on the builder to wear those costs.
But there's nothing more structural legal in that. You're saying, Matt, that's something that a individual consumer is going to have to nut out themselves.
Well, to be honest, you know, that's probably someone to discuss more in construction law. You know, from my personal experience, you know, I haven't been through the mediated processes of having to do that. There's been times where, look, you know, for example, there is clauses within our contracts and even I use the Spaza contract that do allow for latent conditions. So, I mean, it can't be expected with opening up a hole in the ground to know exactly what's going to be under there, you know, even when you do get soil tests. So there has to be some form of variance there or allowance there for what we consider latent conditions, genuine latent conditions that haven't been, you know, probably perceived and all the diligence being done prior to that being, you know, exposed. So, look, you know, in that situation, you would say, look, there is a genuine case for a variation to the contract to be made up. And that does happen, you know, particularly when, you know, you might be dealing with job sites that have got uncontrolled fill or, you know, there is highly reactive soil at certain levels or potential water tables, you know, and you're trying. So there are conditions where that does occur. And look, generally, if we know those in advance and that conversation is had with the client and they are fully aware of the process and the provisional sums allowed for that process, this is a different situation. When you've got, you know, an extreme weather event that's come in, it's nobody's fault, right? Yeah. You know, there's no one to blame here. And so I think that it is a gray area, and you know, there's no set pathway through it, and it's probably got to be done case by case between builder and owner on whose responsibility it is to make good the site. From my experience, in this situation, you know, it's most likely that we will cover the cost of repairing this job. For example, the homeowner's insurance doesn't cover the cost of the structure while it's under construction. Okay, and I think that needs to be made clear, because once you've gotten to completion and you've been issued your Form 23 or Form 17 in our case for swimming pools, well, then you've got a certified structure in place. Now, if that was to be damaged, I think, you know, there is probable cause.
An argument it could probably be covered.
Right, exactly, under the home insurance. But while it's under construction, unfortunately, as it stands, that, you know, and as far as I'm aware, there are very few insurance companies that will give policies to that situation. So it's not an ideal situation for either party, to be honest. It leaves both parties exposed, and unfortunately, probably lead in some situations to a mediated process.
I think you've touched on something really important there that we've covered in a little bit of detail, just in discussion. Maybe we haven't reached any solutions yet. Matthew, thank you for giving us some time, particularly after these heavy rains and everything you're dealing with. You're already in huge demand. No doubt you've got a lot on. Really appreciate your time and insight and sharing with us some of the challenges that you're walking through.
Yeah, no problem. No, and thanks for taking the time for contacting us.
Well, there certainly has been a lot of rain and pain. We've heard about it as we've talked at the start of this podcast, but this show is not just called Rain and Pain. It's called Rain and Pain and Gain. So why don't we wrap it up with a little bit of perspective on what's happened and where the gain is coming from out of what has been rain, and quite a lot of pain.
Well, I think the natural assumption of gain there is from a financial sense, particularly when there's opportunity to, you know, put insurance claims in, or set, you know, fulfill insurance claims, I should say, and repair or replace equipment. So there is a financial gain component to it, but I'm not sure.
Well, we'll take that too.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of my point of going, that is naturally a gain for everyone. However, it's got to be about more than that.
It does.
And I suppose we get to gain some of these relationships with our customers when we are out in the field and they are in a stressful situation. I mean, we're talking about, you know, I've seen pools popped, I've seen pools caved in, I've seen brown pools, and, you know, and sometimes, particularly with those open pools, you know, some of these disasters are unavoidable. But it's about what happens when this kind of thing happens and how
we couldn't
respond.
Stop the rain falling out of the sky, Luke. Not even Luke Daly could do that. Big dog couldn't stop the big god.
Not my point. My point, I guess, is going, I have seen on some forums and fielded some phone calls of unhappy customers laying blame and saying we shouldn't have dug. And I suppose that's easy to say in retrospect. However, you know, you go, to me, you can't really lay blame for those kind of things.
No.
So the gain in relationship and camaraderie, whether it's from team members out there, and you see it's called the Mud Army. Unfortunately, we're familiar with that in Brisbane.
We are. Mud Army 2.0, they're calling it,
Not 0.2. So I think that there's gain in friendships, there's gain in camaraderie, there's gain in knowledge. Some people wouldn't have had to work through these situations before, particularly if they're new.
It's true, isn't it? That professional development and knowledge that gets built through difficult circumstances of having to solve a problem.
Yeah, and the teamwork that comes with that. So I think that's probably where I see the most gain,
from a
financial sense, but the team sense, the knowledge sense, the respect of professional trades sense as well.
Right, to consumers whose pools have been, you know, destroyed. They're looking awful and they need fixing. And our professional service industry comes in and goes, we can fix that for you.
And it's a regard. And I've seen a lot of good commentary coming from our members through social media, through emails going, hey guys, I know this looks terrible. Don't get me wrong. This black pool is disgusting. But, you know, and this isn't a greed or a capitalization sense on a bad time. It's a going, hey, look, It looks stressful, but because we know our trade, because we are professionals, we know how to fix this pool within, you know, a few days oftentimes, you know. All you need to do is, you know, sanitize the crap out of it, flock it, drop it out and get it to waste. And we can clean it up because we're educated and a professional trade. And I think the respect comes back from that greater community to go, hey, these guys know what they're doing.
You know, you really do raise some great points as we wrap today up because it's really easy to see the rain. We have seen it, and even if you've not been affected by it in different parts of the country and across in New Zealand, Hello Kiwis, been a big focus on the eastern coast of Australia today, but we don't forget you either. We thank you for your thoughts and prayers that have been with so many over here, our Kiwi cousins. But Luke, you really do raise a great point in we've seen the rain, we've felt the pain, but it's really important to take that step and go, where's the gain, and put some perspective around the adversity, and there's genuinely gain for our industry, for your business, for our relevance to consumers as a professional service and construction industry, which you are all doing out in the field. Thank you for persevering through the rain and the pain and seeking ways to gain as well for your business, for your clients, and for our wonderful professional industry. We will see you next time on Ready, Set, Splash.